live from Crazy Horse 3, it's time for Cofield and Company.
Warriors ball with 9.6 remaining.
An NBA championship on the line. Iguodala throws it to Green, who catches it. Back to Curry, puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound Cousins, deflected. Picked up by Leonard. Ball still loose. They dive on it and try and call time. And a timeout call.
Lowry has it. Throws it into Leonard. That's it. It's over. The Raptors win. Leonard makes it official. Now the Warriors just inbound, and that's it. There's a new NBA champion, and it's a team from Toronto, Canada. We the North are now we the champions. The Raptors, the 2019 NBA champs.
Here's Steve Cofield.
Nice. Another evil empire goes down. Today is a great day in sports. Today is a great day here on Cofield & Company as we've got Happy Hour Friday going down. Crazy Horse 3 is the location. Free admission. Open bar now until 6. Happy Hour until 8. $5 food the entire time. And we're hooking up your dads with gift cards, Visa gift cards. $75 goes out each hour starting in the 4 o'clock hour. All you got to do is come in. It's free to get in. Make sure you get a ticket, and we'll be drawing every hour. Visa gift cards, $75. As if the open bar, the $5 food, the ladies, and of course us, isn't enough. We're giving out gift cards. How about that?
Sounds perfect.
Wow, you're fired up.
Sounds perfect.
You're fired up. Let's get to it, Chrissy.
It's time for The Three, presented by Cofield & Company's Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3.
You never know what you're going to get, Chrissy. You never know. Maybe he's ready, maybe he's not. You fired up? You fired up for the Raptors win?
Yeah, I think it's exciting for Toronto, for the nation of Canada. I think it's very cool. They should be very excited and very happy, and they are. I saw Drake partying. I saw Toronto party.
Excitement locally around midday today. UNLV landed first recruit for 2020 as Nick Blake, who is a local who was prepping in California this last year but is absolutely part of the Las Vegas scene, chooses T.J. Altelberger's program over Kansas State. So first player in the fold. Wing, 6'7". Nice victory. Good start.
Yeah, I think it's important for them. They have certainly made a commitment and made it very clear that they want to recruit locally, that they want to, you know, kind of build that wall around Las Vegas and make sure all the best players stay here. And if you can do that, you can have success because it's a very lucrative recruiting market. And this has been a goal, and we know how hard, you know, especially guys like Kevin Kruger has been pushing locally, and DeMarlo Slocum as well is a local guy. So they have they have huge desires to make sure that local kids stay here, and it hasn't really been happening the last few years. So that's a good win for UNLV, I think, just to start building those bridges.
Yeah, it's the sign, right? It's the sign that they're going to compete and win for some of the local recruits. News about Isaiah Cottrell, almost called him Crowell, came in, Bishop Gorman big. He's going to be going east to West Virginia, so you want to win as many of these battles as possible. And UNLV with Altelberger and company lands a top 150 player in the country for the 2020 class. Reading Mike Grimala, who was all over this from the Las Vegas Sun. Grimala, I thought this was interesting the way you wrote this up. How can UNLV basketball begin to rebuild its crumbled local recruiting pipeline? Is that a good descriptor? Had it crumbled?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if crumbled or was done. It was gone. Crumbled leads you to believe there's something still there. I think it was just non-existent. And we've talked about some of that. Some of that factor was some major local schools, you know, not wanting to be involved with UNLV and not wanting their coaches to be around. And some was, I think, you know, we've heard stories of guys just not being around and not, you know, showing that passion to be there every day and that drive to every single day to show up and be around the local kids and where the local kids are. And you know, we've heard stories of it, and we certainly have heard the exact opposite of this staff. So there is zero doubt that it's a major, major priority of this staff to recruit locally. And I don't know that was the case before. And, you know, some some people don't think it's the most important thing. You think you recruit internationally and you find the best players no matter where they are. And some think it's very important to build a community and keep the kids at home. And I think that's certainly the focus of this staff.
U.S. Open going down right now. Are you keeping an eye on it at all or just waiting for the end of the round?
And it was yesterday.
We'll see where Tiger is.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Why?
It was that time yesterday to watch it.
I don't know if you had a first-round bet or something.
No, I was just paying attention. I was watching it. It was very cool that it was on network and it was on After Soccer. So it just became a really solid day of watching different sports and watching the U.S. Open today. Just wasn't really part of the plan, so didn't have time to do that. But it's interesting.
Things get busy, right?
Yeah.
Justin Rose is leading at 7. Louis Oosthuizen is at 6, but he's just starting off.
I'm surprised Justin Rose is staying up there because that was one of the luckier rounds you're ever going to watch yesterday. And especially, at the end of the round, he was making putts from everywhere. I think he only had 23 putts, something like that. I mean, he was just making every putt. I think he made, 3 straight from 12 to 14 at the end of the round to try to save a couple of holes for himself. So, surprised that he's still hanging around up at the top of the leaderboard, not really putting a dent, not really putting any separation between himself and the rest of the field, though.
Local Scott Piercy at 5-under. Ricky Fowler at 5-under. Tiger is back at even. McIlroy at 4, Kuchar at 4, that cheap ass. Adam Scott, UNLV guy, 3-under. Sergio, 3-under. So tons of golfers are ahead of Tiger Woods at this point. Mickelson, 1-under. Ugh, God. Jordan Spieth at 1-under.
He's the worst.
What have I been saying? What happened yesterday?
Back-to-back. Well, I don't know if it was back-to-back. He had 2 shots fairly close together that just were awful and immediately just started yelling at the caddy, "Perfect shots! Perfect shots! That's your club! Look what you did!" All right, you hit it. You hit the shot.
What an asshat.
He really is.
And as I've said for years, unfortunately, most of the golf media is afraid of the golfers, afraid of repercussions from the tour. So they won't say anything. They won't tell you who the creeps are, but it comes out on TV. You see it with Spieth. And, frankly, he and his caddy probably have a pretty unique relationship because his caddy's a horse's ass as well. So perfectly suited for each other. But
yeah.
Jordan Spieth's not a guy that I want to root for. Frankly, I don't think he should represent the United States in any of these competitions. He's an embarrassment.
Well, isn't he just what Americans are? That's how we're seen globally?
He's the Hope Solo of golf.
Okay. I don't know if he's on that level. I don't know if he's stealing cars and, drunkenly crashing into people or getting in fights with his relatives.
Not that we know of.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if he is or not. He might be. Maybe.
Now, the opposite, of course, is a role model like Patrick Reed.
Patrick? I mean, he's a good dude. Family loves him. Gets along with everyone.
He's a good dude.
Sure. Why not?
All right, well, the Raptors did it. I would say they shocked the world, but we know quite a few people who actually picked the Raptors before the series, including one of our regulars during the week, one of our old cast members here with the company, John Von Tobel, had the Raptors winning it. So there were some people who thought the Raptors could win it. The odds were very much in favor at the beginning of the series for the Warriors to win as high as, minus 400. I think it dropped down to 270 before the series. Last night's game was fascinating. I mean, I'd like to come in here and scream and yell about, hey, the evil empire went down. All I can say is their luck ran out. And as you've been pounding, injuries were a factor. And there was a pall over the game last night, just like there was after game 4. Now, in game 4, when Durant went down, at the right game or not?
5.
In game 5, when Durant went down, I kind of felt bad for the Warriors. I'm like, you know what? If they win this game, it's not going to kill me. Last night, even after Klay Thompson went down, I'm like, just get the hell out of here, Raptors. Let's finish this. End it. Now, at the time, we didn't know the extent of the injury. Durant had every Twitter doctor immediately start rushing to the Achilles is blown. Maybe some people thought it was an ACL with Klay Thompson, but he kind of threw us off. It looked like a bad limp. He's going to the back, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, you got to get back out there. He comes out, makes 2 free throws, and then actually kind of jogs back to, to at least go to the defensive end of the court. Then they get him out. Little did we know, he was done for the game. He had been on fire. He was freaking carrying the team. Then it was left to Draymond Green and Steph Curry. And, Green made some bad mistakes. He played with emotion, and Curry just couldn't hit the big shots, and especially the last shot he got.
Yeah, I really did not care about the series at all until Thompson got hurt yesterday. That's when I said, okay, now I really want the Warriors to win. This would be amazing. This would be one of the most incredible performances you've ever seen from a team losing two stars and then also having two role players that are very badly injured and trying to gut it out on the floor. I mean, they were basically down four guys. I wanted to see them try to win the series. But, it, you know, it just didn't work out. I especially want to see a Game 7 and just see what they were going to possibly try to do. But, yeah, it didn't work out. And in the end, the Raptors get the victory. But, yeah, it was one of those games where you're just watching and you're like, wait, another guy is out for the series? This is crazy.
At that point, I was like, this is just ridiculous. You can't lose Durant and Klay Thompson. And you found out pretty quickly from Doris Burke, who, by the way, we will talk about in the 4 o'clock hour, because there was a lot of positive reaction to Doe Burke. There was also a lot of negative around Doris Burke, especially in the postgame. But we found out from her pretty quickly that Klay Thompson was out for the game. We found out about an hour after, torn ACL. All right, we're going to talk about the game more, especially the postgame scene, like immediately afterwards. Kawhi Leonard's reaction was just freaking hilarious. Of course, we're going to get to Adam's guy, Drake. And now, you know, after these series, this is the great thing now about social media. People will go back and get all these stupid statements and bold predictions that people made that absolutely went wrong.
The Three is brought to you by Cofield and Company's Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3. Steve is covering the drinks. It's a 3-hour open bar with $5 food. Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3.
Ball knocked loose, and Leonard able to save it. Danny Green for three. Bang! Danny Green does it again.
And it started with a great effort by Kawhi Leonard.
What part of Kawhi Leonard's behavior in the last year and every story that's come out in the last several weeks says anything about this dude having any of the qualities that a leader is supposed to have?
Damn. Beads bringing it. Michelle Beadle, that was a rant when all that Kawhi confusion was going on. She kind of wrote him off there. Turned out to be a pretty good leader. Unassuming dude, found his perfect spot. Nick Nurse, perfect coach. Wins a championship. And now Kawhi, frankly, I don't care what happens the rest of his career. He'll go down in NBA history as one of those guys who won a championship. And you're going to look at the rest of the team and go, man, that was a good championship. There aren't many like that where there's one massive lead dog. You know, even LeBron, when he won the title in Cleveland, had Kyrie.
Yeah. I mean, he's always had guys around him. And Kyle Lowry kind of was that guy, but he just didn't show up really this year.
They have a lot of good players. They have a lot of dudes who can average, you know, 14 to 17 points a game. Depth is their key. But as the main man, Kawhi's pretty unique in winning a championship. This was pretty special. Do you go after Beadle for this? Or no, do you understand what was going on at the time?
Fan. She's a Spurs fan.
Okay, there was a little frustration with what was going on with the Spurs. I wonder if she's seen the light, at least that she's able to see both sides. That, hey, the situation on the Spurs side was pretty screwed up as well. And I think building a case for Kawhi, maybe some of the stuff that comes out about Kevin Durant and just the theme of team doctors and organization goals versus player goals in general.
I heard a lot of people immediately after the game with Durant the other night just start talking about Kawhi and his situation with the Spurs. And, I mean, I think it's certainly something that needs to be addressed and talked about. And I wonder if players around the league will look at whatever teams, you know, seem to have their players' best interests at heart. But I would venture to say it's probably none of them. Like, I don't think it's any of them. I think they're all about trying to win and trying to make sure they get the most out of their players while they're there on that team, and they don't really care about what goes on in their future or after their career or anything like that.
Give me a little more Beadle from this explosion that she, I was going to say put on. It wasn't a fake explosion. She was really angry about Kawhi Leonard, and she gave one of the strongest takes about Kawhi during that offseason.
I'm so over this dude. The city of San Antonio is over this dude. You can go as soon as they get whatever they want for you. But if you think you're just going to walk out of there and get your way because you've thrown this little spoiled hissy fit and become one of the most unlikable characters, I've never seen a heel turn like this in a way that is not enjoyable. Like, you are no longer a person I root for. You are someone who has just shown every quality of a spoiled, entitled person.
Wow, that looks terrible now, doesn't it? He's like one of the most unselfish guys, unassuming guys. in the NBA and really in the history of the NBA. Team first guy, and he's being called selfish by Michelle Beadle. Again, that was coming from a Spurs fan, and that may be the only group of NBA fans who looks at Kawhi Leonard and thinks he's a jerk.
Yeah, I would, and probably Warriors fans now. I would imagine aren't very happy.
I'd back off that. Probably, you may want him someday. Yes,
probably
like,
Philly
like,
fans.
Like this offseason.
Philly fans probably don't like him. Milwaukee fans. I think you're right. I think the average fan looks at him and thinks that he's not only, you know, unassuming and shy and everything else and a good dude, but also a tremendous player. But it's why you have to be careful. We talk all the time about media people that are fans of teams and why you have to be careful, you know, with that. I mean, this is not the take of somebody who is trying to analyze something that's going on in the NBA. This is fan that's angry. And you know, listen, sometimes that works. I think it makes it entertaining on some level.
Do you like that more on the TV shows or what we're presented with too often?
I mean,
which is fake takes and picking a side.
Yeah, I'd rather.
At least she was being real.
I'd rather have the passion.
I think Michelle Beadle's awesome. She's obviously bounced around ESPN a lot. Now there's a rumor that she's going to be off the NBA show.
Yeah.
She flipped out. That was actually on Get Up, which was the show that started with Greenberg and Jalen Rose. And what did I say from the get-go when they put that together?
Wasn't going to work.
Will not work because Beadle is way too strong for Greeny. They're both leads, and she's not a BS artist. So she was going to flip out, and she did. I forget what the female issue was. She was really annoyed at the NFL. Might have been the Zeke Elliott thing, and she just threw down a gauntlet. She's like, I don't want to cover the NFL. It sucks.
Yeah.
They don't like women. I don't want to watch the NFL. I'm not watching college football. Screw this. They booted her, but when she goes crazy, like when she has an opinion, you know it's real.
Yeah.
Like it's not some phony thing she's making up, and I think that's also why she's had a bounce from show to show, because she won't phony it up. So I got Beads back. I like her. Kawhi Leonard last night, did you watch his celebration for 1.4 seconds?
Celebration?
Well, he appeared when they – because they had the delay at the with the clock and everything and the foul as the time was running out. But so the clock runs out, and he starts like – he throws his hands in the air, screams, and then he starts running towards midcourt, and you're like, oh, he's going to do like a Valvano and just start looking around like for someone to celebrate with. And then he like realized what was going on, and he's like, I don't celebrate. And he just stopped dead in his tracks and got like super calm like that.
His wires were crossed. Like he didn't know what he was supposed to do because he wasn't programmed properly by whatever, you know, being controls him. It was bizarre. It was cool to see himself. Like he did the same thing against Philadelphia when he kind of went crazy after making the shot. And then he stopped. He's like, oh, wait, I don't do that. So I think he does do it. He just doesn't want to show it. But I thought it was more enjoyable later just watching him do a press conference with the goggles on to try to keep champagne out of his eye, which I didn't know he'd be affected by that.
He's almost like the modern day version of Ricky Williams when Ricky started getting his anxiety and would do interviews with the helmet on.
Yeah.
Like if Kawhi could wear a helmet, he would wear a helmet all the time.
Well, I'm pretty sure if he didn't have to do it, he certainly wouldn't do it either.
Like they're forcing him to do it. If he could, I don't know, just put on a ski mask.
He should. He should wear that. We should wear those goggles or whatever that thing was all the time. You should just have that on permanently.
The opposite of Kawhi celebrating the title, because he did nothing, was Drake, who, of course, is part of the team. At least he thinks he is. He is part of the organization.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was watching somewhere, you know, in a crowded area.
He's in Jurassic Park.
But yeah. He's kind of off to the side. Like
his VIP room.
Little stage there. And I just thought this was the funniest thing. He comes down from wherever he is, and there's just like 40 media people, cameras, recorders, and now it's time to hear the brilliance of Drake. But again, as you pointed out in the beginning of the series, like he seems to be in this like next level altered state when he tries to philosophize winning an NBA championship. Fire it.
Praying for Katie, praying for Big Poppy. He did this off of heart. He did this off of love. Build this into existence. We manifested this. I told you the first time. People like to make memes. Make another meme out of this. You see what my hat says? Not finals. Not Eastern Conference. Not nice try. Or see you next year. Champions. Let's go. Real talk.
What?
Did he throw a Big Poppy in there?
What's the real? He did throw a Big Poppy at the end. There were prayers to Poppy, to Durant. Then he had to mention his hat said champions. not next year.
Not nice try.
Yeah, not nice try. And then at the end, you're like, whoa, I was blown away by that. And he has to punctuate it with real talk.
Real talk.
Why don't we just do that throughout the show?
He wasn't kidding.
This show's broken up into like 12-minute pieces as we go to break. Just real talk.
What's a good cue? Because if we don't have the pointing that we usually have in studio.
On the road, that's our new cue. I won't say on the way back. Just some kind of strong statement. Real talk. No, don't go to break. Not yet. What is wrong with him?
Well,
or what is right with him?
Imbibing.
I love the guy. I think he's funny as hell. On our Facebook page, ESPN Las Vegas Facebook page, I said Drake is now the best celebrity NBA fan we have.
Past Nicholson?
Yep.
Past Frankie Muniz with the Clippers?
Yep. Past Billy Crystal, past Spike.
No, I still think it's the, oh boy.
Jimmy Buffett?
Yeah, Jimmy Buffett.
But he can't go to the games.
Right, but that means he's the best.
Well, Drake was pretty close.
True.
To getting banned?
Right, but I think Jimmy Buffett being banned makes him the best because he's willing to go so far above and beyond for his team that he got banned. Like, I think that's impressive. You got to respect that.
I did make one change to my list because I had Drake over like 7 celebrity NBA fans, and then I had to change it because I was doing a little more research. Apparently, a fan of the Kings includes Sasha Gray, and I was like, yeah, Sasha Gray in front of Drake.
She's a Sacramento fan?
I guess.
She's from Sacramento?
I don't know. She's done some fine work in the Valley, though, over the years.
Real toss.
I had something else for the real talk, but that, damn it, you beat me to it. All right. On the way back, we're going to go up to, out to New York, talk to a Toronto native, a guy who was weaned in the Toronto media. He's a megastar in the esports area. He's going to fill us in on what the vibe is right now and what it's been like over the years in Toronto when it comes to basketball. Real talk.
Cofield and Company will be back in 90 seconds. Keep it here on ESPN Las Vegas. Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3.
Kyle Lowry with the ring. Kawhi Leonard bringing the chips to the city. I want my chips with a dip. That's all I know. I don't want my chips plain. I want my chips with a dip.
Oh, Canada.
So beautiful.
True patriot love in all of us come
out. You sound like you don't know the actual words.
You should be singing it. This is your favorite song.
I'm not going to sing and have that out there, but it is my favorite song. It's by far the best anthem. There's no question about that.
And there is a little bit tugging at your heartstrings that a Canadian team won the NBA championship. I know you're happy.
I'm all about Canada. There's no question. Even though I'm not allowed in the country.
That's right. You're on the watch list. All Adam Hills are banned.
I'm technically allowed in the country. I just have to go through a huge process every time to convince them I'm not the Adam Hill bomber. I'm Adam Hill me.
Also, along, we're down here at 3 to 6 at Crazy Horse 3. We're giving away $75 Visa gift card, so get down here, get a ticket. It's free entry. We got an open bar for 3 hours, $5 food, and now we're giving away Visa gift card. So get on down here on this Friday. All right, we want some expertise from north of the border, and we know this guy from the world of MMA. He has grown into such a megastar. Like, it's a world I don't know anything about. Maybe we'll have some time to ask him about it. But Arta Ocal is on the horn with us with Steve and Adam here in Vegas. What's up, buddy?
I'm doing great. Long time no talk. How have you been?
We're good. I was rooting for the Raptors. Adam became a real sappy Warriors backer because all of the injuries. So what does this feel like? First of all, is it obnoxious just to have, like, anyone from Canada on? Like, do you have to be from Ontario to enjoy this, or can the entire country claim the Raptors?
Because there's only one NBA team in Canada at the moment, all of Canada rallies behind the Raptors, unless they are anti-Toronto specifically, then they will pick another team in the league. But in this case, there is pride across the country that the Raptors did win the championship, more so than if, say, the Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup. Then there would be a lot of hate around the country other than the city of Toronto.
So what is your sense of what Toronto is just like right now?
Euphoric. Now, you got to put it into context. Toronto is probably ESPN once voted Toronto to be the worst sports city in North America just a few years ago. So, like, that gives you just all the context you need on how this is, how important this is for the city of Toronto. The last time an MLB, NBA, or NHL team from Toronto made the finals, let alone won a championship, was the Blue Jays in 1993. So that's how long the city of Toronto has been waiting for a finals appearance, let alone a championship. So you can imagine how happy Toronto sports fans, especially ones that have been watching these teams for such a long time, how happy they are right now.
So what do you think when you hear Americans bag on Raptors fans and say, hey, where were these fans over the years? Because it was my understanding that the Raptors did have a really good fan base, and this wasn't a bunch of people jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, they certainly do. The city is definitely, you could still classify it as a Maple Leafs town. The hockey team is definitely still the top concern. But with the Raptors' success, there's definitely been, I would say, equal parts growing basketball in Canada, in the city of Toronto, but also just the fact that there's something to be proud about in the city itself. So I think that that has helped a lot, just the fact that there's a winning team. And you saw that with the Blue Jays, too, a few years ago when they made the ALCS in back-to-back years. The city really rallied behind the Blue Jays as well. They weren't able to get to the World Series, but there was still that sense of pride there, and people were definitely watching the team, and that's exactly what happened here with the Raptors, too.
How do people feel about Drake there?
It's polarizing, but I will say this. Some people will say that he's annoying. Some people will say that he's a little bit of a bandwagon jumper, the fact that he has Golden State tattoos. You know, he's got friends on that team. We even saw it afterwards. Steph Curry was FaceTiming with Drake and, you know, laughing and congratulating him and everything. But at the end of the day, what I will say about Drake is that he's a terrific ambassador for the city of Toronto, because for as much as what your opinion is on his music or him as a celebrity or him and his antics, at the end of the day, he is repping the six. He is repping Toronto. So you leave, he leaves that conscience in your mind. He leaves the impression of Toronto in your mind, whether you like him or not. He is giving you an impression of the city, and so to me, that's a positive thing.
I like that you dropped a reference to the six in there, because I have been told that, like, that was kind of a Drake thing. That wasn't really a big deal before he brought it to mainstream. Is that true?
That's correct. Yeah, he's the one that popularized that term.
So, I guess, has everybody just adopted it just because he's like, hey, that's what we're called now, so we're going to go with this?
Sure. Basically. I mean, that's, the six comes from 416, the area code, and he basically abbreviated it to the six, and because he said it, it became a thing. Now, let me say this, though. When many Torontonians first heard it, it's not like we unanimously adopted it and said, wow, this is such a cool term, we're going to start saying it all of a sudden. There were a lot of people that refrained from using it, but definitely now that there's something to cheer about, sure, let's call it the six. Let's adopt it. Let's make it our unofficial Toronto nickname. I'm fine with that.
We got Arda Ocal on the horn with us. I'll put you on the spot. Who would first come to mind to back up Drake as a celebrity? If it weren't Drake, who would it be?
Justin Bieber, probably.
Well, how would that go over? In the United States?
He's about an hour away. I was trying to think about this. So the Golden State Warriors had Metallica, and they had Ne-Yo as anthem singers. And I was trying to think about who they would have booked, or the Toronto would have booked, to counter that. Drake would have been the obvious pick. But maybe, any Canadian singer would have been fine, right? Like,
Justin Bieber, or even
Celine Dion, or whatever. But, I love the fact that it was the fans. Because the fans were so powerful singing the community. You guys played it before I came on the air. They were so powerful playing the national anthem that that's all that was needed. And to me, that's more of a statement than having a celebrity sing the anthem.
I jumped on you right there, but I think it's Shania Twain. She posted videos and pictures of her watching the game last night, all excited about it.
Yeah, Shania Twain is another great one. Timmins, Ontario, represent. That's 8 hours north of Toronto, by the way. It's an eight-hour drive north. There's a Shania Twain museum there. She is definitely the biggest celebrity to come out of Timmins, Ontario. And I bet you this is the first time in ESPN Las Vegas radio history that the city of Timmins, Ontario was ever mentioned on the air.
Probably. rapid fire on the hoop side of things. One, yeah. Can they keep the GM if other organizations are coming at Ujiri with $8, $9, $10 million? Can they keep him?
Larry Tannenbaum, the owner CEO, was asked this question, and he said he is like a son to me. He's like a family member to me. I know him. He has everything he needs in Toronto. That was his response. It's still very early, and yes, there will be teams who want the architect of this Raptors organization to join them and do the exact same thing. But I do think the Raptors have a chance there.
Can they keep Kawhi Leonard?
That's the X factor. I honestly believe the way that he answers questions, that he might very well become the first player to win a championship and leave the team. But if he does leave the team and he goes back to his hometown Clippers, let's say, goes back to Los Angeles, or even goes to another team, I guarantee you that he will be revered in the city of Toronto for the rest of his career. And they might even make a statue of that Game 7 pose against Philadelphia.
Wow. Were you mad that Doris Burke asked him if he was going to stay around right after the game?
No, because that was probably one of the biggest thoughts on many people's minds watching the game, and that was the obvious question. And Craig Sager always says, you have to ask the obvious question. That's why I wasn't upset at Dorsberg asking it in that moment. But I understand why people were upset, because they just won the championship. Talk about that. I get that part, but no. And Dorsberg is the GOAT, so I'm totally fine with it.
What does this do in town for the Maple Leafs? Isn't there – I mean, there's already pressure to win, but, I mean, Jesus, what are we in – 50 years plus now in a cup drought, the Raptors winning put that much more pressure on the Leafs?
I don't think so. That's a good question, but no. The reason I say so is, and by the way, it's 1967. The Leafs won the Stanley Cup in 67. They haven't made the finals since. They have not made the finals, let alone win a championship. Yeah, that's bad. That's very bad. However, what I think is, now, just also keep in mind that both of them are owned by the same organization, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, and now the city of Toronto has experienced this championship. So to me, I don't want to say that the next season will be a wash, but I will say that there's less pressure in the immediate future for any team to win, because we have that championship now, and now we know what winning feels like. So yes, we will want championships in the future, we meaning the fans of the city of Toronto sports. That championship should come in the future, but I don't think there's immediate pressure like, hey, look what the Raptors did. Now, Leafs, you got to step up now, because that team is also good and they are competing right now.
I need more Toronto knowledge. You're a guy who's been in New York for a while, reared in the Toronto area, Ontario. What's a better city to live in, New York or Toronto?
I love New York for many reasons, man. I would say Toronto is a little bit of a smaller version of New York. I would say that you will find better dollar pizza in New York than you will find any slice in Toronto. However, guaranteed. However, you will find a better street hot dog in Toronto than any hot dog in New York.
Why is that? What do they do?
They're delicious. It's called street meat for short. It's delicious. When you go to Toronto, you have to get a hot dog from a vendor. It's the most delicious $3 food you will buy. It's just wonderful.
Trust me
on that.
Arno, which city is more expensive in general, New York or Toronto?
New York by far.
Really?
It's like the same number value in rent, but in American currency instead of Canadian currency, for sure.
I don't know.
New York is way more expensive.
I watch some of these real estate shows, these fix-up shows, and I forget the one is like Fix It or Sell It or something. And then the Property Brothers did a bunch of stuff in Toronto, and I'm like, my God, the houses there are outrageous.
Oh no, it's expensive to live in Toronto, but New York is more expensive.
All right.
Or at least where I am, maybe I should move.
Adam, any Toronto nuggets you need answered? This is what we do. We are ignorant, aren't we? As if Toronto was so far away. I've never been there. Actually, you know what my other question was? I've heard Toronto may have the best gentlemen's clubs in America. Or not America, North America.
No, Montreal.
Yeah, what's better, Montreal or Toronto?
No comment, probably Montreal.
It's Montreal. Steve, I'm a Canada guy now with all my hockey coverage.
Let
me tell you something. You know what bothers me about America versus Toronto? I'll tell you something.
Uh-oh.
There is no poutine in America. How is that possible? That poutine, poutine is like a Canadian delicacy. However, it is the one food that I can't believe does not exist in America. It has like all the perfect ingredients that any American would love. And it doesn't exist in its purest form in the United States. How is that possible?
Adam Hill is shaking his head. You don't like it?
Yeah, I actually don't like it.
How? Yeah. What?
I know.
You gotta be kidding me. How? It's gravy, cheese curds, and french fries. a delicious trifecta of power.
Real talk.
We have, we're going to go with the Drake real talk all the time now. We have combinations of it sort of broken down, like Wisconsin with the cheese curds. I know where I grew up in New Jersey, people used to love disco fries, so you get fries with gravy. But, we need poutine. We got some places here in Vegas, actually, that do poutine from time to time. Yeah. Not too bad.
Disco fries are not poutine, man. Like,
I'm just saying, deconstructed, kind of broken up. Hey, let's close on this, because I do want to let the audience know what you do, because you are so tied in. Like, for esports people, they know Art of Ocal. When did you get into this world, and, how freaking big has esports gotten on TV?
It's gotten huge, actually. I never thought that esports would be something that I would actually even be pursuing, to be honest with you. I thought traditional broadcasting, whether it was sports or whether it was even pro wrestling, MMA, combat sports, I thought I would stick into those avenues. But esports has become so prominent, especially in my career and casting in particular, that is something that's really become my primary focus now. That the fact that it's thriving, it's growing, and it's going to continue to grow. We're at the point right now where if you are not on the bandwagon, you're already late. Like, it's already growing at that degree that you're going to see a lot more of it coming soon.
By the way, are you like the old guy? Aren't you pushing 40? Are you the old guy? Like, I couldn't do it. I'm pushing 50.
No comment. Look at you guys in the tough questions. Come on. What is Capital J Journalism? I didn't sign up for this.
I just wonder if you feel old in esports. I don't know what the age is.
It keeps me young, man. I will say this. I do compete with a lot of jobs against, young 20-somethings that are just coming out of college. And that definitely is a kick. But, you fight. What do you do? What do you got to do, man? You do what you got to do to get a job, you know?
Well, good for you, man. We're glad you're doing well. Thanks for the time, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
There you go. Art of Ocal, who's big in esports now. And, we met him years ago because Canada was such a big player and still is in the MMA world. But, especially back then with GSP, and there were a bunch of promotions in Canada that were doing well, and gives us a little glimpse as ignorant Americans of what goes down in Toronto.
Well, speak for yourself.
Well, you're an expert?
I'm a Canadian expert.
No, you shook off poutine instantly, so I assume you've tried it multiple times.
In Canada.
And you are a Tim Hortons hoe.
Tim Hortons. Please, if somebody's out there, a franchisor, bring it to America. It's in America. Bring it to Vegas.
On this Friday, we got to do a blow the whistle as... Man, we got to go to college football and blow the whistle on someone. Dude, shut up.
Cofield and Company's Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3. Steve is covering the drinks. It's a 3-hour open bar with $5 food.